Welcome back to the AgeTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you to live a normal Christian life and a normal church life, that you might be one whom God can use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. Baptism is a wonderful reality. It is a glorious testimony. In the New Testament, there are not many outward practices that are emphasized. Actually, very few. The Old Testament is filled with outward practices, which are types of New Testament realities. In the New Testament, two of the very few practices that are emphasized are the Lord's table and baptism. We'd like to focus on this matter of baptism to talk a little bit about its significance, its importance, and what it means to us in our experience, in our going on in the Christian life. Baptism, of course, is an experience that a normal Christian has at the initiation of his Christian life. It is normal for someone who receives the Lord, who repents and prays to receive the Lord, gets baptized right away. We'll see this in our fellowship. However, even though this is an experience in our early Christian life, even at the initiation of our Christian life, we'd like to see that our baptism really affects our going on and our growth for our entire Christian life. One key verse related to the matter of baptism is Matthew 28:19, where the Lord says, "Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And in the Recovery Version of the New Testament, there is a note on this word baptizing. In verse 19, this is Matthew 28:19 and note 3. I'd like to read a portion of this note. Baptism brings the repentant people out of their old state into a new one by terminating their old life and germinating them with the new life of Christ, that they may become the kingdom people. John the Baptist's recommending ministry began with a preliminary baptism, a baptism by water only. Now, after the heavenly King had accomplished his ministry on earth, had passed through the process of death and resurrection, and had become the life-giving Spirit, he charged his disciples to baptize the discipled people into the triune God. This baptism has two aspects: the visible aspect by water and the invisible aspect by the Holy Spirit. The visible aspect is the expression, the testimony of the invisible aspect, whereas the invisible aspect is the reality of the visible aspect. Without the invisible baptism by the Spirit, the visible baptism by water is vain. And without the visible baptism by water, the invisible baptism by the Spirit is abstract and impractical. Both are needed. It is clear from this note that our baptism has two aspects. The visible aspect, that is, by being immersed in the water, and the invisible aspect, something that is happening in the spiritual realm, actually, that is realized by the Spirit. We are actually being baptized into the Spirit, who is the consummation of the triune God. Our baptism in the Spirit is the reality. Our baptism in the water is a testimony. It is the expression of the visible reality. But please, never depreciate this visible aspect. The visible aspect is a testimony. It is the expression of the invisible reality. So we need to have the visible aspect as a testimony of the invisible reality. But another reason we should be baptized is to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. Even the Lord Jesus himself was baptized. And we see this in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus comes to the Jordan River to John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, to be baptized by him. When John says that he's not qualified to baptize the Lord Jesus says to him, "Permit it now, for it is fitting for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What did the Lord mean here by fulfill all righteousness? This means that in order to be right with God, we need to be baptized. I'd like to read the footnote on this word righteousness in Matthew 3. So this is Matthew 3, verse 15, and note 1. Righteousness is to be right by living, walking, and doing things in the way God has ordained. In the Old Testament, to be righteous was to keep the law that God had given. Now God sent John the Baptist to institute baptism. To be baptized also is to fulfill righteousness before God. That is, to fulfill the requirement of God. The Lord Jesus came to John not as God, but as a typical man, a real Israelite. Hence, he had to be baptized in order to keep this dispensational practice of God. Otherwise, he would not have been right with God. Note 16:1 says, "The Lord was baptized not only to fulfill all righteousness according to God's ordination, but also to allow himself to be put into death and resurrection, that he might minister not in a natural way, but in the way of resurrection. By being baptized, he was able to live and minister in resurrection, even before his actual death and resurrection, 3.5 years later." So we see that the Lord Jesus, he was baptized to show that although he was a typical man and even a sinless man, he was someone who did not live according to his natural life. His natural life was buried. That's the picture of the baptism, being put into the water. It's like a tomb, and we're buried there. The old man is buried, and we are raised to live in the new man. Well, the Lord Jesus did not have any sin or any oldness, but he put aside his human life, and he lived by another life, the life of God the Father within him. We also need to be baptized to bear this testimony that we choose to live by another life. In the Old Testament, there are two wonderful pictures of baptism in the Old Testament. One is the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and the other is the family of Noah being saved by the ark. And both of these stories are linked in the New Testament to the matter of baptism. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So the Bible itself says that the Old Testament picture of crossing the Red Sea was the baptism of the children of Israel. Then 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 relate to the story of Noah. They read like this, "Who had formerly disobeyed when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, entering into which a few, that is, 8 souls, were brought safely through by water. Which water, as the antitype, also now saves you, that is, baptism, not a putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the appeal of a good conscience unto God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." In each of these stories, there are two aspects that I hope we can see. With Israel, they were saved by the blood of the Passover lamb. The children of Israel were told for each household to slay a lamb and to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. Then when the angel of death came, whenever the angel would see the blood on the doorpost, he would pass over that house. But if there was no blood on the doorpost, someone in that household would die. That is the firstborn. So this is a picture that we are saved from God's judgment by the blood of the Lamb. And of course, in the New Testament, the Lamb of God is Jesus. And we are saved by his blood. That is, we are saved from judgment. So, dear saints, our eternal salvation is based on the blood of Jesus. But in this picture in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, even though they escaped the judgment of the angel of death, they were still in Egypt. What they did after this, they were instructed to eat the lamb and then to make an exodus, to leave Egypt. And how did they leave Egypt? They left by crossing the Red Sea. In the story, we know that Pharaoh ordered his armies to go after Israel. And Egypt is a picture of the world. Pharaoh is a picture of the ruler of the world, that is Satan. And in the picture, we see the armies of Egypt chasing after the children of Israel. This shows that even though we are saved from God's judgment, the world can still have a grip on us. The world can still have a hold on us. Satan's kingdom can still have some ground if we don't leave Egypt. And what is the way to leave Egypt? Cross the Red Sea. For us, that means be baptized. When the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, the sea closed and swallowed up Pharaoh's armies. And this picture shows us, brothers and sisters, that we are saved from the world by being baptized. We're saved from God's judgment by the blood, but we're saved from the world by our baptism. Baptism is not a small thing. And when we come to the story of Noah, we can see something similar. The family of Noah, they were saved from the death waters by the ark. They were in the ark and they were safe. But they were saved from the corrupted world by the water itself. I'd like to read a note from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. And this is note 3. Water was the medium through which the saving was accomplished. The ark saved Noah and his family from God's judgment, the destruction of the world by the flood. But the water saved them from the corrupted generation and separated them unto a new age, just as the water of the Red Sea did for the children of Israel, and the water of baptism for the New Testament believers. So you see, brothers and sisters, that the water saves us from the world. Our baptism is so important. Yes, we can pray and receive the Lord and have the invisible reality. And that act of receiving the Lord and accepting his sacrifice for us saves us from eternal judgment. But it is our baptism that saves us from the world. How important baptism is. It is a testimony of the inward reality. It is also our salvation from the world. I have witnessed new believers throughout the years who hesitated in being baptized, and they struggled with the matter of the world. Baptism is a reality. How we need to take this step of baptism shortly after our receiving the Lord. It is a spiritual reality. If you have not yet been baptized, I hope you would be baptized. And for those of us that have been baptized, I hope that we can ask the Lord to bring us into the reality of our baptism. As we see here in 1 Peter, that baptism is the appeal of a good conscience to God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This means that the reality of our baptism is resurrection, and the reality of resurrection is just the Spirit Himself. We can live in the reality of our baptism by being in the Spirit, by contacting God the Spirit. May we all enjoy the reality of our baptism, that we are one with the Lord in an organic union, and we are saved from the world. Maybe we'll stop here and we'll continue next time. O Lord Jesus, we love you. O Lord Jesus, bring us all into the reality of our baptism. Lord Jesus, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Rick Anastasia.